This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted to be with you today as we spend this time together having holy conversation, as we do Monday through Friday, right here on Women of Grace Live, brought to you by so many great Catholic radio stations out there that carry EWTN programming, also available to you on several other platforms. I don't care how it is that you receive us. What I do care is that you contact us. So I'm going to give you a number that you can use to do so, 833-288-EWTN. That's the toll-free number for you if you're here in North America, 833-288-3986. Just give a call. Ryan Penny is there. He's going to answer the phone. He's going to get you up on the board. You're going to make him happy. He'll jump up and do a little high five to you in the air for your call today, 833-288-EWTN. Actually, I'd kind of like to be upstairs to see him doing that, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, here's your number, country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. Jeff Burson producing today. He is here on the other side of the window. I'm looking at him. He's looking at me. We're going to smile. Here we go. We're smiling. It's so very lovely. And he will go out there into social media land and grab your questions off of EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can get us that way too. You can see us if you go out there and take a peek. We're right here in the studios on our campus in Irondale, Alabama, and what a pleasure it always is to be on campus here. It's just something, you know, I keep telling you this, you know, if you've never come, you should come. Come on a pilgrimage here. We've got a great pilgrimage department. They'll line everything up for you. You'll be so delighted. You'll go on a tour of the campus here. You'll have an opportunity to attend Mass here, go spend time in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, who's available to us here. You can shop at the Religious Catalog Shop. They're always happy to see you. And I got to tell you, the staff is always very, very happy when visitors come to see us here. And then you can go on out to Hansville and do it all over again right out there at the Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament. You can visit Mother Angelica's final resting place in the Crypt Church there in this magnificent shrine, the likes of which is, I don't think there's anything like it here in the United States. I'm just saying, we've got beautiful shrines, but this is very, very special, very special. So we invite you to come and join us here. All of that being said, again, you can reach us another way too. You can text EWTN, text EWTN to 55000. Text EWTN to 55000. Well, today is Friday. Friday is always a wonderful day. And why is Friday a wonderful day? It reminds us of the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ loves us, loved us, loves us still, loved us unto death. He loved us unto death. John 3:16, that beautiful passage that we should memorize and return to anytime we feel sad or blue, anytime we feel forsaken or abandoned. Anytime when we think that Father God is far away from us and maybe he's forgotten we even exist, John 3:16 communicates truth to us. And it says this, for God so loved the world. For God so what? He so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. That word speaks volumes to us, doesn't it? And that word should come to us every time we look at a crucifix. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I am so happy that we as Catholics keep the corpus on the cross because it's a sign of the truth of God's love for us. It reminds us of the sacrifice that our Lord made on our behalf, that he took our sins upon him and pinned them to the cross with him that we might have everlasting life. We have the assurance that everything that is contradictory about our lives, the wounds of the heart that we suffer through, the reversals, the sadnesses, the sorrows, all of these things, he pinned to the cross for our sake, that in our time of need, those graces might flow from that cross into the circumstance and situation that we are facing in that very moment, and might also flow into our soul, that we might have the strength to endure for as long as the cross is on our shoulder. And that is good news. And so this crucifix is God's love in pictiform for us. It is an icon, the theology of which is all about the great gift of salvation and the theology of suffering and the beautiful way in which God works the two together to bring new life. Because what follows Calvary? 3 days in the tomb and resurrection. So those 3 days in the tomb sometimes can equate to that time in which the cross is heavy on our shoulder, and we ourselves are experiencing our own passion in union with Christ. But we know resurrection is coming. And all of that and so much more is contained in that cross that speaks of God's love for us. So on Friday, in a special way, we ought to bring ourselves into this beautiful mystery of our faith, this beautiful reality of the divine love, this beautiful gift that God gives to us through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the merits of which come to us by way of the Holy Spirit distributed to us through the hands of Our Lady. We ought to consider that, and we ought to take a look at ourselves, right? I mean, we should be doing this every day in some way. We should be taking a look at ourselves. You know, I think that for the most part, we are pretty poor self-observers, but as we ask the Holy Spirit to continue to illuminate our hearts and our minds, to reveal ourselves to ourselves, there's a certain facility that comes, and we see more clearly those ways in which the God life is not in us, those crevices and crooks and little niches in our soul that are outside of the grace of God, because it's inside of the reality of sin. And so an examination of conscience, always a good thing every day, on Friday perhaps in a special way, a deeper way. Why? So that we might say, you know, here is a way in which I sinned, and this sin I know you took to the cross with you, Jesus, and I know that redemptive grace is waiting for me there. And so even in this moment, I confess to you that I sinned in this way, and I plead for your redemptive grace to enter my heart, to enter my soul where this sin has occupied itself, where it has sat up residence and pitched a tent in me. I ask you to come in now and to release me from this sin, and for you to pitch your tent there, for you to occupy this space within me. And then as soon as you can, dash off to the sacrament of reconciliation. Bring that sin into the sacrament that the healing graces might flow forth and you might be healed from the very root of what caused that sin. All of that is a good consideration on Friday. You hear that music? We're going to go to a break. When we come back, more right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having holy conversation with you. How about picking up the phone, giving us a call right here? We want to hear what's going on in your world today, what's on your mind, what's in your heart. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I'm Janet Williams, near giddy to be with you today. Looking forward to hearing from you right here on Women of Grace Live. Stay with us, and we're going to be right back.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am thoroughly delighted to be with you today and so very happy. Phone lines are lighting up. You're keeping Ryan busy. That's a good thing. He likes to be kept busy. And Jeff does, too. So we invite you to contact us through EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can see us out there, too. You can see we're in the studios here on campus. Very happy about that. I want to remind you to send your email questions to us at womenofgrace.com. at EWTN.com. That's womenofgrace@EWTN.com. We get to those on special days that we devote to mailbag. I've got a whole folder of them here. We might even do one or two of these today. We'll just see how it goes. But all of that being said, we invite you to communicate with us that way, and it's a great way for us to stay in touch. Let's go out there to the phone lines now. We've got Michael with us. He's in Silver Springs, Maryland. He is listening to us via Guadalupe Radio Network. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, goody. I didn't bring my bell. Ding, 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 ding. I'll ring it with my mouth.
Thank you. I'm a bit nervous here. Please bear with me.
Sure. You sound great.
Thank you. Been listening to your show for over a year now, every now and then. I really have admiration. I really like what you do with your radio station.
Thank you.
With your show. And I'd like to thank you for everything you do. I struggle with anxiety and depression.
Okay.
And it's just hard. Just going day to day.
Mm-hmm.
Just feeling relaxed. I struggle with fear.
Mm.
You had a guest, a couple of months ago.
Yes.
You know, from the suicide prevention, I believe.
Yes.
And he mentioned something in that show that will help, could possibly help eliminate anxiety. So I was wondering. If I can get that information, and also if you can kind of pray over me. I've been struggling with just having like a closer relationship to God. You know, I am Catholic. I do attend Mass regularly, and every Sunday.
Good.
And I'll go to confession.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, you know, because of you, you talk so much more about the rosary, and I recently started praying the rosary as well. But
good.
I really don't have that deep relationship with God yet, so mm-hmm. I was just asking for your help and just praying over me and any advice you can offer. Thank you.
Oh, Michael, thank you so very much, and thank you for calling today. And my heart goes out to you. It truly does. First, I want to thank you for listening to EWTN Radio, because there's so much good information and so much inspirational thoughts that come by way of the network. And I think that that's always something that we want to fill our hearts and our minds with. It says so in Philippians 4. It tells us that everything that is pure, everything that is holy, everything that is lovely, to think of these things. And I think that that's very good advice from St. Paul, especially in those moments when we get fearful. The enemy wants to take us out through fear. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a moment. But as far as the gentleman who called, I do believe that that was a caller that called in and gave us this information. It was excellent information. But I cannot recall what the website was for information that he was talking with us about. We'll do some research on that. If you're listening out there, sir, please do call us. You can give it to us on the air again, and Michael, who will listen throughout the program, would be able to benefit by it. But we might have to do a little bit of digging and research to help you with that one, Michael. The good news is, you know, that there is help available. And when you talk about anxiety and you talk about depression, you know, the first question that I want to ask you is, have you been diagnosed with clinical depression, or is this more of a sadness of heart that you carry with you? Is it a biochemical issue, or is it more of an emotional issue?
I'm very emotional. I've not been diagnosed.
Okay.
I have not seen any therapist. You would like to see a therapist,
mm-hmm.
but right now financially, I cannot afford a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
My job, I don't have insurance.
Okay.
So,
right. Well, that's regrettable. I would suggest this though. I would suggest that you go to your parish church and ask them if there is anyone there on staff who is a counselor or could counsel you, even even not necessarily in a purely psychological way, but even right. spiritually counsel you. Because oftentimes, you know, these maladies of depression and these fears come from a spiritual base, you know, and that has to be determined. So there could be help for you there. But let's talk a little bit about anxiety and fear. Do you notice with your fear, do you notice that it's tied to certain things? Are there certain thoughts that come into your mind that are always in a similar category? Are you afraid of dying? Are you afraid of an uncertain future, for example? Are you fearful of being left alone? You know, are they just isolated into a category like this, or is it just a general kind of pervasive sense of fear?
Well, I am afraid of dying. I'm basically like just being in a social environment. I'm afraid of all that.
Okay.
Just being still, you know. Mm. So I kind of avoid those situations.
Right. So a social anxiety even, kind of a thing.
Yeah, kind of thing. You know, as much as I want to be, you know, be involved in a situation, I will. You know, I will find ways to not, you know, participate, and that's the sad part as well.
Yeah,
A little bit of. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. I lost my dad when I was young.
And, okay.
And that's a big part of it. So. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, no. Tears can be very healing. It's the International Suicide Prevention is the name of the organization, and I'm just going to give you the website. It's supportsp.org. SUPPORT. I think it's an ISP.
Support.org. Okay.
SUPPORTISP.org. Okay. So there's the website. Thank you, Jeff. Jeff got that for us very quickly there. I appreciate that.
Okay.
So sometimes, you know, these things can be very difficult to resolve. And having lost your dad at a young age is a great sorrow and can be a very emotionally lasting experience, especially for a young man. But the good news is that God's provision is there for us. Now, sometimes we do need additional help, like we've talked about, Michael, but oftentimes as we grow in union with our Lord, He begins to heal these wounds of the heart. He comes in and He begins to occupy that wound that is related to the loss of your dad. And, you know, Father God wants for you to develop a relationship with Him. And oftentimes, also Saint Joseph is a fine one who helps to father us through the various situations and circumstances that we face in life. And fear, the kind of fear that the enemy wants to use us from, to prevent us from moving forward, has a little acronym. You use the word fear, and you put these words, one word for each letter in the word fear, false evidence appearing real. So with regard to social anxiety, you know, whatever it is that the evil one is stirring up in you that causes you to be fearful about going and participating in events with people, he's going to create false evidence that looks very real to try to keep you away. And some of the thoughts that he'll incite into our head, he can't read our minds, but he can incite thoughts. He can, you know, incite them. Some of those thoughts would be, you know, well, what if they don't like me? What if I don't look appropriate? What if I say something stupid? You know, what if I feel rejected? You know, and he'll play on those kinds of worrisome things and make them seem bigger than life. And oftentimes it isn't. It isn't anything that's going to happen like that. That's all false evidence appearing real to keep you, hold you back from participating in something that could be quite beneficial for you. So we're going to pray together We're going to pray that, number one, our Blessed Mother takes you by the hand, and as you pray the rosary, that she leads you into the mysteries of her Son's life, because in every one of those mysteries, in every situation and circumstance that we see in Sacred Scripture, the grace of that moment is available to us. It's in a repository called the grace of the present moment, and we can access that grace when we need it. So when you see Jesus healing someone physically, when you see Jesus releasing them of a demon, when you see Jesus, forgiving sin, all of that took place in his life exists in the eternal moment. The grace of it exists. And our Blessed Mother wants for us to experience that grace. She is the one that God uses to distribute the grace. The grace comes by way of the Holy Spirit, but he gives it to Our Lady to offer to us. And the rosary, for that reason, can be a very healing prayer. And so when you sit down to pray the rosary, here's my advice to you. When you sit down to pray the rosary, you know, begin by placing yourself in a recollected state. Even if you talk yourself through it, I like to praise our Lord when I sit down, just to kind of gather my thoughts now that I'm leaving the activity of the day and I'm entering into a very holy and sacred moment where I'm going to converse with our Lord. And so I praise him. And I praise you, Jesus. I bless you, Jesus. I worship you. I adore you. You are Lord of Lords. You are King of Kings. You are my King of Kings. I desire that you be King of all areas of my heart and my soul and my mind and my spirit. And in this moment, I surrender them all to you, Jesus. And those areas that I'm holding on to that I don't even know about, I surrender them to. Just come. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, come. And until I begin to feel a certain kind of quiet of heart and mind. And then I invite our Blessed Lady Mother, you know, I'm going to pray your rosary, and I'm going to meditate on the mysteries of your Son's life, but I ask that you take me by the hand and take me into these mysteries, Mother, and reveal to me that which I most need to know. And it doesn't matter, Mother, if it travels through my intellect, through my thinking process, or, Mother, if it's just something that's communicated to my soul, and I need no sensate kind of proof, because I trust that we are about a holy work here, you and me together, as you lead me into the mysteries of your Son's life, and as I contemplate him through you. A little prayer like that. And then we begin with whatever mystery is the mystery of the day. You know, today's Friday, so we would be praying the sorrowful mysteries. And you know, when we picture our Lord in the agony of the garden, you know, we might say, Mother, as I pray these Hail Marys now, would you please help me to understand the great suffering that Jesus went through, and show me, you know, how even one of those drops of blood was being shed for me and for my fear of this moment. And then you begin to pray. You see, you personalize it. And our Lady is so good, Michael. She is just... she is the benefactress of our soul. She mothers us. She mothers us in the way in which we should go. She's just so beautiful. And she will do this for you because she loves you so much, Michael. She loves you so much. And God desires that you know his love through you, through her. He desires that you come to experience the full measure of how it was that he gave his Son just for you, Michael. And, you know, as we allow ourselves to begin to think about these mysteries, and we open ourselves to them, you know, all of that fear, the evil one cannot stand up under that. He can't. And he leaves us. And never be afraid of praying wrongly. Never be afraid of that. Never be afraid of your prayer isn't good enough. Never be afraid of the fact that your relationship with Jesus is really not so close. It's never going to be as close as we want it to be, but we're always making progress to the extent that we leave our heart open for it. And so, Father God, we just come before you in this moment, and we lift your Son, Michael, to you. You see the beauty of his heart and his soul. You see his mind and spirit. You see the desire that resides there to come into a deeper, more intimate union with you through the merits of the cross of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I ask, Father God, that in this moment, our Blessed Lady would stand beside your Son, whose name is Michael, whose name means who is like unto God. And I pray that you, Mother, would begin to reveal to Michael the deep love that Father God has for him, the deep love that Jesus has for him, the deep love that the Spirit of the living God has for him, and the deep love, the deep maternal love, Mother, that you have for him. I pray, Blessed Lady, that you would procure from your spouse, the Holy Spirit, that grace that Michael needs to begin a new process of healing for this father wound that resides within him, having lost his dad at such a young age. Mother, I know that the evil one cannot stand up underneath the power of your holy little heel. And so I would ask, Mother, that you would raise it up now and come down and strike the head of the serpent of fear that seeks to put your son in snares and seeks to put him into traps and bondage. I pray that whatever territory of Michael's heart and mind has come underneath this false evidence appearing real, I pray, Mother, that with your beautiful, supple, nimble fingers, you would begin to untie those knots so that your son experiences a new life within him, can take a deeper breath of freedom as a result of it, and come to see the splendor that is his as a son of God. I know that you, Mother, are about this work even as we ask for it, because you never restrain your maternal love from us. You always pour it out in abundance, and you bring the Father such pleasure in watching you do this and in seeing how it is that you, whose obedience to him untied the knot of Eve's disobedience, begin this process of nurturing in our hearts and in our souls. And so it is, Father God, that we thank you for the work that you are about today through the hands of Our Lady. We thank you, Spirit of the living God, for the graces that are being poured out upon him now. We thank you, Jesus, for the merits of the cross that are setting your son free. And we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with a maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. In Jesus' name, may it be done. Amen. So, Amen. Michael, you hold on to that, okay? You hold on to that.
Okay.
God bless you. Thanks for calling. Well, friends, you hear that music? We're off to a break. When we come back, we've got Robin, Mary Beth, and Ken. We've got room for you. Two spaces open. That's all. Right here at 833-288-EWTN. We'll be right back.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, and I got a number for you. 828-3888-EWTN. Toll free for you here in North America, 833-288-3986. We invite you to pick up the phone, give us a call here. Very, very eager to also invite you to be with us out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Lots of people calling, and I'm very excited about that. And we've got Ken with us, and he's in Kansas City, Missouri. Sirius XM 130 is the way he's with us. Good morning, Ken. How are you?
I am good. Thanks for taking my call.
You're so welcome.
I just, instead of calling with necessarily something that I was struggling with, I wanted to call as a witness for the gentleman who was just on.
Oh, good, for Michael.
Yes, I want to say that I went through something similar, maybe not even similar in life, where I had fears and anxieties, and I think it wasn't until I allowed the Lord to be present in my life and to surrender to his will for me. And I realized after I did that, that my life was no longer my own. It truly, I was guided by him. And I started, as that gentleman said, I started praying the rosary and was doing things that I didn't even realize I was doing. Mm-hmm. And it was almost as if I was being pulled in to him. But it wasn't until I surrendered and realized I cannot do anything without you. I can't. It's impossible. And without that, I don't know that I would have ever been able to answer. I wouldn't have had the answers that I have today in my life and the relationships that are so much more real. And even with my own father, I heard him say that he had lost his father at a young age. I can't say that I did. I lost my father in a way of we were going different paths. Mm-hmm. And his path I could not follow. And through God, through surrendering for both of us, we now have this unbelievable relationship that we would have never, ever had, ever. It would have never existed. And it in to the point where we talk three times a day and four times a week. It's amazing. Everything with my own family, my wife, my children, everything has gotten better because of my surrender and me allowing to realize that I was not that strong of a man unless I was a true man of faith. Mm. And until that, I couldn't have done anything else. And so it is possible for him to get there, but he does have to realize himself, as well as maybe other men, to have to realize that without surrendering to God, you will continue to have that struggle.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you, these are fantastic words that you're speaking, Ken, and what strength you have. And that strength, I do know, comes from your relationship with our Lord, because you operate in His strength. And that's what St. Paul tells us, you know, in our weakness, we're made strong, you know, and Jesus just wants our weakness. He does. We have no natural strengths. You know, that which we have is given to us by God. They belong to Him. But when we recognize that we can't do anything without Him, then we can operate in His strength. And it's interesting, because I have an email question here from Carol, and she sent this in the end of July. And I hope, Carol, you're listening. So I'm going to have you share with us about this act of trust and surrender in light of her question and Michael's call. And she says, what are some ways that I can learn to trust Jesus more to help to become closer to Him? You can't surrender unless you trust. So how did you grow in trust? What was your process? What did you do?
I think for me, I could only say this, that I've seen a lot of paths around me that were chosen by others, and I realized this is just not where I need to be. Mm-hmm. Something was missing, and I could feel it. Mm-hmm. But I did not know, nor did I believe that it was the church. I grew up in the church, but never had that relationship like I had grown to trust. And I will say this, it was a priest that I ran into who said this to me. Believe it or not, I had to hear this on this level, and not for everyone. Maybe this is what they would need to hear or how they need to hear it. But it is what woke me up. It's what rattled my mind and made me realize that I was less of a man. When a priest said to me, "You are less of a man if you cannot talk about your Catholic faith.
Wow.
You are less of a man if you cannot tell the people that you love." You love them. I did not want to be labeled that way. Hmm. And at that point, I refused to allow that, to allow myself to continue to be labeled that way. Mm-hmm. If I needed to be a man, then the man I wanted to be like was Christ. The man I wanted to be accepted by was God Himself. Hmm. And so for me, it's the route I took. Mm-hmm. And again, maybe not everyone goes that way. Maybe everyone has different polls, but for me, it was driving by a church after I had been out late one night with friends and looking over and seeing a light on in the church, and I went, I wonder what that light is for. And some people may say, well, you know, that you just, you know, you must have just walked in at the right time. And I said, well, no, because I woke up at 3:00 in the morning one day, and I realized what that room was, and it was the adoration room. And somehow I was completely dressed and sitting in the adoration chapel at 3:00 in the morning. And I wasn't really sure how I got there, because you have to enter a code to get in. And maybe the timing was right. Maybe I didn't realize it, but I know one thing. I was dead asleep before that.
Wow.
And I woke up and I was sitting in the adoration chapel.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, Ken, you know, that who knows, maybe your angel transported you there. Things like that do happen, you know. But the fact of the matter is, you know, when you say that we can never be who we're meant to be unless we have a deep relationship with Jesus. And all we have to do is ask for it and begin to live the relationship. You know, I think that that's part of the cooperative effort here. And that's what you did. You know, you began to live the relationship. And when you live the relationship develops. And, you know, I want to thank you so much for your witness. I want to thank you for the strength that you've exhibited just by giving the call and saying what you said. And I know that that's going to be beneficial for Michael and for all of our listeners today. And it's just one of the beautiful ways in which we edify and build each other up, right, in this mystical body of Christ. So thank you very, very much for caring about Michael enough to call and to give us such good insights. God bless you, good man.
Well, God bless you, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you very much. God bless. Bye-bye now. There you go. I mean, so for all of you gentlemen listening out there, here you've got a man telling you, you can't be a man unless you're a man in Jesus Christ. So I guess the question we ask ourselves is, where am I with Jesus Christ? Have I asked him? Have I asked him into my life? He is a gentleman, you know. He's not going to impose himself on you. He's waiting there for your invitation, and he'll come right away. But have we? And if you haven't, do it now. Why wait? Do it right this moment. Jesus, I want to know you better. Jesus, I desire a relationship with you. Jesus, come into my life. I ask you to walk across the threshold of my soul and enter in. And then begin to live the relationship. Talk with him. That's what prayer is. It's just conversation with our Lord. Tell him everything. You know, I'm struggling over here. I don't like this. And, you know, really and truly, I feel nothing. And I feel rather stupid sitting here talking to you, just saying, you know, be honest with him and see what begins to happen. Wow. Thank you, Ken. Do appreciate it. Let's go to Jordan. He is in Norman, Oklahoma. Oklahoma Catholic Radio is the way he's listening. He's a first-time caller. I'm so sorry I didn't bring my bell. Ding, 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 ding. How are you, Jordan?
Hi, I'm actually a girl, Jordan.
Oh, there you go. I'm sorry. I apologize for
it's
that,
okay.
Sweetheart.
I'm used to it. I'm used to it.
It happens.
Yes. So I wanted to share. I was listening to Michael, and I was driving, and I was tearing up because the past year, my husband has been going through horrible major depression with anxiety. He's developed a very bad panic disorder. It got so bad that he had some psychosis. He couldn't work. And so he got treatment on his own. But the rest of us, my children and I, got some help through Catholic Charities. Mm-hmm. They gave us free counseling for 6 visits, which really helped because it hurts. It hurts the people around you when you're hurting. And he's not Catholic, so we had to, you know, go a different route. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. I thought that might be a good resource for Michael.
Well, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's excellent. And so, Michael, Catholic Charities, as Jordan is sharing with us, can reach out. And you are right, Jordan. You know, when one member of the family is suffering, if one member of the family is operating in dysfunction, through their fault or through no fault of their own, and certainly your husband's situation was no fault of his own, but nonetheless, it does affect the entire family. It affects the entire family system, the way in which we operate, and oftentimes we become a little dysfunctional ourselves because we're trying to accommodate the dysfunction. What a wise woman you are that you recognize that and you did something about it. And Catholic Charities is a safe haven because I'm quite certain that the therapists there are completely in line with sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. And I'm so grateful you were able to do that. And I'm so happy you shared that today because that just might be a door opener for a lot of people that are listening.
Yes.
And how's your hubby doing?
Up and down. Uh-huh. It's a long process.
Yeah.
So.
And how are you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. I just keep going. I'm a stay-at-home mom, so mm-hmm. I'm on 24/7. I just have to keep going.
Yeah. And the kiddos?
They're okay. They're okay. We, you know, go to Mass. We have an altar server, and we're good. We pray. We pray the rosary. We do what we can.
Right.
So.
Well, let's just say a little prayer. Do you mind?
Okay.
If we pray together?
No.
Okay.
Oh, of course.
Okay. Well, Father God, you know, we come before you in this moment and we lift Jordan up to you, her husband and her children. And, you know, Father, you know all things. You're omniscient. So you know what is at the source of Jordan's husband's psychosis, his fear, his anxiety, his panic attacks. You know what is the basis of this. And you see it so clearly, Lord. And sometimes, you know, these things are shrouded for us. We don't see them clearly. And so we put our trust in you that even in this moment, the Holy Spirit is about a work in Jordan's husband, a work of healing and a work of restoration. And I would ask, Lord, that if there is anything that this panic attack, this anxiety is rooted in, some incident from childhood or traumatic experience that happened because of natural disasters. I don't know anything, Lord, that could have in some way been an opening for this seed of panic, this seed of fear, this seed of anxiety to begin to take up residence there and root within him. And if it's important for Jordan's husband to know that he then might, through therapy, begin to work on that, then I would ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit and illumination of heart and mind, that this would be made known to him, that he would see it, Lord, that he would see it. And I pray that in seeing it, it doesn't cause fear, but rather that there is a sense of interior exaltation that finally, the source of this has been revealed. So I pray, Father, that as it says in sacred scripture, you will bring into the light what's hidden in the darkness for the edification, for the healing, restoration, and renewal of your son. I pray for Jordan, and it's clear just in what she said and by the tone of her sweet voice that she's carrying the load of this, that so much of this is on her back to create a stable environment for her children, to normalize situations. It's exhausting, Lord. And so I pray that you would give her all of the interior resources that she needs. But I also pray, too, that there's respite for your daughter, that she is spelled in some way by those who can come in and pitch in and help, or even take the children for, you know, an outing, just to give her, you know, a break so that she can be restored, some R&R, so that she can pick up her weapons and head back into the battle again, renewed and strengthened through you, invigorated, revitalized. And I pray for these little kiddos, Lord. I just ask that you, Our Lady, you know, would procure from your spouse, the Holy Spirit, the choicest of graces that would be insulating graces around their little hearts, that none of this can take root in them or cause them any kind of distress or anxiety, that they would be freed through this grace to develop as the beautiful children that are the apples of the eye of Father God. And we offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. God bless you, Jordan.
God bless you.
I'm tucking you in. I have two mysteries of the rosary yet to pray today, so you're going to be in there, okay? You and Michael, Ken, your hubby. Your children, all right?
Thank you.
Okay, God bless you, sweetie.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Ah, my goodness sakes. You know, it's amazing. We would, you know, you can just look at situations and you could say none of us would make it through life if it wasn't for the grace of God. Even when we're not asking for it, it's operative. You know, and some, we can do better when we ask for it, right? Because we can cooperate with it and we get a whole further distance as a result of that. But this God never forsakes us nor abandons us. And we have to keep our minds and our thoughts on that when the press of the enemy is great and strong. Let's go to Joan. She's in Abington, Massachusetts. Station of the Cross is the way she's with us. How are you doing, Joan?
Good morning. How are you, Janet?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
I just wanted to call in. I felt bad for Michael himself. I had that same experience myself. I lost my father at the age of 20 and my mother at the age of 29. And I don't have a lot of support in my life at this time. And I understand it's very heartbreaking. I deal with anxiety and depression myself. I have gotten, but I still felt isolated and lonely at times.
Yes. Sure. Yeah, you know, I remember very clearly a good priest of God, Father Richard McAleer, who talks about the three wounds of the heart that are common to every person. And I remember them through the acronym BAR, and it's betrayal, abandonment, and rejection. And so on some level, we all know this wound of abandonment. And when it's related to a traumatic event, such as the loss of a parent or the betrayal of a spouse, you know, and then you got three of them operative there, the betrayal, the abandonment, and the rejection, you know, it can be very difficult to overcome. Now, the thing is that through prayer, we can begin to ameliorate this. We can begin to heal from that sense of abandonment. And it comes by way of taking control of our thinking processes and reappraising them in the light of the truth of the situation. And by that, I mean the truth that we were not alone in that moment, that God was with us. And looking back on that situation and beginning to itemize in our mind all of the way in which we saw God present. That's not to minimize the pain. It's not to minimize the loss. But when we begin to look on the ways in which we saw God with us, Emmanuel, there in the midst of that situation, then to that extent, do we begin to look at the circumstance through a different lens. And so I would encourage you to do that. It didn't occur to me to offer that to Michael, but I offer that to you. So, you know, I mean, and I have to share with you, I know this is effective because this is what I did when my son was tragically killed. And so, you know, I began, and really I have to say, the perfect person to ask to help us to do this is our mother, Our Lady, because she will show you. They'll come into your mind. You know, so I can look at that situation. The event is tragic, the sorrow deep. It's a wound that will never completely heal in the sense of losing a child. But I can look at that and I can list, you know, my goodness, I made it through that time. How did I do that? How did I see God showing up? Well, first of all, it was an act of mercy on God's part. I know that because he took Simon at the time when he was closest to him. And go through like that. And then when you look at that situation, yeah, the grief is there, but you see the presence of the Lord in it. And this begins to take away that sense of abandonment, that sense of loss. And we begin to see that God is with me in all things. And it changes everything. It just changes our perspective completely. So I offer that to you. You know, and Father, you know, we just ask that you would help to populate our mind with a way in which you're with us in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our trials. The other thing that does, Joan, it gives us a foothold on the next time that we experience some kind of reversal in life, or the next time, you know, that fear or that anxiety begins to try to make its way to capture our heart, you know, in light of that circumstance. And it gives us an assurance. It builds trust in us. That's another way to build trust. It builds trust in us. So thank you so much. And because you feel this very, and I could hear it in your voice, this very motherly tone towards Michael, I'm going to ask you that as a spiritual mother to him, you pray for him, pray a prayer for him. In praying for him, you know, God's going to, you know, he can't be outdone in generosity. So you're going to get tenfold of the graces back. And thank you so much for your concern for him and for your call today. God bless you, dear lady.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too, dearest. Bye-bye now. Let's go to Robin. She's with us in Stilton, PA. Oh, I know where Stilton, PA is. She's with us via the EWTN app. Good morning, Robin. You wanted to read a poem to us, and I'm afraid we're not going to have time for that. So here's what I would ask you to do, okay, sweetie, because I do want to hear it. Will you call us back on Monday?
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Not Monday. No, because you know what? I'm in production next week for television. So I'm going to have to ask you to do it on the following Monday. I hate to ask you to wait that long, but you know, we still want to hear it. I just don't want you to get cut off because we run out of time.
That's okay.
Okay, sweetie.
I think God worked everything out today, so that's fine.
God bless you. I appreciate your understanding, but we do want to hear the poem,
okay,
so don't forget about us.
I won't.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Donette. God bless you.
God bless you. So we have Mary Beth with us in Marietta, Ohio, and I'm just going to read her question because we are short on time. So, Mary Beth, again, we welcome you to call back, but you say this, and I think it's very good. I would rather lose an arm than lose EWTN, how I spread the mission of EWTN. And I'm so happy that you find benefit in the great work that is done here on this campus. And I want to know all about how it is that you spread the mission of EWTN. So mark your calendar for a week from this Monday and call in and tell us, okay? Don't forget. I look forward to talking with you, Mary Beth, and you, Robin, and all of you when we're back with you. Pray for us next week. We're in production. On Friday, we will have a live show. And so we welcome you to call us then, and we'll see what the Lord has in mind. So be safe. Open your heart to the Lord. Ask Jesus to come in. And until we're together again, may the abundant life of Jesus Christ be yours. God bless you. Love you lots. Bye.